I'm Drea.
I'm Meg.
I'm Tina.
And I'm Jess.
And this is Pardon My Stash. Welcome back to Pardon My Stash, a podcast about knitting within the fiber arts and how awesome it is.
Woo!
Before we dive in today, let's talk about what we're working on. Tina.
I am working on the Arachne shawl by Verily Knits, the matchy make-along with Pardon My Stash, and I am doing it with the lovely and incomparable Drea.
Incomparable.
And mine is being done with the main color of black and an accent color of orange. I had to rip out 20 rows.
Nice. Whoa. But you succeeded.
I did succeed.
Congratulations.
I was victorious. I was surprised on how easily I was able to pick all my stitches back up.
That is always such a wonderful surprise.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be as horrible as I think it's going
to
be.
To be fair, it is a rather simple pattern as far as color work patterns go.
Yeah, and there's no lace or anything that you're screwing up or anything like that. So it was pretty easy to pick back up. Yeah. I am using Plies and Hellhounds Penny in the colorway Flower Moon and Nightmares. I will never remember that again.
That was impressive.
But you have it written down, so it's all
good. No, I just did that off
my
brain.
Oh, you did? Bag is blocking. I can't see. There's so nothing. I thought you were... Oh, good for you.
Them lobsters.
Phenomenal.
I only can do that once.
5 stars.
My whole life.
This was the time.
You better
this
be done by time. Next time so you don't have to remember me again. You got a week.
Oh, boy. I feel like then the logical step now is Drea.
Yeah.
Spider shawl.
Spider shawl.
That went nowhere. I didn't know where they go. What does a shawl do?
It covers your shoulders and then fights crime.
Does it?
No, it doesn't.
I mean, it could if you did. God.
Frank would be so impressed if
Stop
that's
holding
what
your shawl back.
I am also doing the Arachne shawl by Verily Knits, although the last several times that I have introduced it, I have just said that it's by Claire Slade, which is also true.
Actually, I was looking at the little email in the corner of the copyright, and that's why I was saying Verily Knits. I could be wrong. I could be absolutely wrong. I feel like we're both right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I feel like it's not incorrect. But I am doing the same shawl as Tina, just inverse colors. So my main color is orange and hers is black. So
very nice.
We're doing matchy inverse.
Yeah.
Nice.
Jess?
I am working on the Dij vest.
What?
I think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah, I think it's French and I don't know French, but it's D-I-G-E vest. I can pronounce vest. So there you go.
So applause. By, 5 stars.
By Josie Paquin. And I looked up how to say the name, and I probably did that wrong, too, but I'm trying, guys, okay? But it's a vest, and
it's a vest.
That's the one part I'm pronouncing correctly, guys. It's a vest. It's got cables, although right now I'm just doing, 8 million miles, i.e. 9.5 inches of stockinette. And...
You're going to make it.
I'm almost there. I'm at, 8 if I stretch it a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So that counts, right?
Yeah, totally counts.
Stretch it too much.
No. But and I'm doing it in Critical Hit Dyes leather in the base Artificer. And yeah. Just making it to these cables, man.
And you have a confession.
I do have a confession. Because I was also working on the matchy make along, and I just stopped finding joy in it. There was no joy, and then I was like, yeah, but the colors look really nice, and the pattern is really pretty. So I was trucking along, and then my stitch count went off, and I was like, I don't feel like fixing this at all. And so I actually frogged it. And I have
never frogged it.
I have never frogged a project before. Usually I just bind it off and I'm like, look, now it's a handkerchief for cats. So I frogged it and so it wasn't that terrible. And I was like, wow, I should do this in the future if I actually don't like a project. And again, that's nothing to say anything about the pattern or anything like that. It was beautiful knit. It was looking really pretty in the colors. I just I was bored with it. It didn't spark any joy.
It didn't.
It was like the same pattern over and over. And I was like, okay, I know where I'm going with this. I know what I'm doing. It keeps increasing, which means I'm doing it for longer. So, and then, like I said, I missed the stitch and I was like, yeah, I don't even feel like fixing it. And so, yeah, I was like, I'm going to frog this. So now I have a new matchy make-along pattern that if you follow my Instagram, I'll post pictures soon because it's color work and I'm having a lot of fun with it. Except for I want to add beads and they don't really make nice beads for worsted weight yarn. It's really hard to find what I want. So I'm just not going to bead it. And if I like it, I'll do it in a smaller weight and bead it. That's where I'm at. I went off on a huge tangent there, but Meg, what are you working on?
So right now I am working on a second Calliope sweater because I really did love the first one. It's a really good sweater project. Like, I generally don't repeat projects unless I really, really like the pattern. And I really do like this pattern. But I also wanted to make a sweater that is a little more wearable. One of the things that I dislike about my Calliope is that I did it with the original pattern, which is with a strand of mohair, which is great. It's super soft. It's also super warm. So there are very few venues in which I can wear it. It was perfect for Rhinebeck. It was perfect for Rhinebeck. It was just enough warmth. I cannot wear it to work. I cannot wear it anywhere that I'm going to be indoors because I just get so hot. So I'm doing a different version. I'm making this one out of Fiber Spates Vivacious DK in the colorway Heavenly. I bought 5 skeins of this 2 years ago at a local yarn store when we were on vacation, and I love it. So I'm really excited to be working with it. It's super squishy, and I think it's going to be a lot cooler than using the mohair. So, and I'm also, I full confession, I also abandoned my make along project with Jess because we are making along. And I also was not getting a lot of joy sparked. And I know when there's no more joy because I stop working on it. Like, I have no desire to pick it up. And I put off putting it. Oh, no. She was like a whole color ahead of me on the shawl. And so then I was at work and I was, you know, having free time and messing around on Ravelry. And I started looking at color work because that was what I felt like doing. And I ended up sending Jess a pattern and she was like, well, that's what I'm doing. So I'm also doing a color work project and I posted it on my Ravelry yesterday. So we probably will not finish by the end of the make along. Probably will not happen.
When's our deadline again?
I don't know.
September,
Jess,
man.
We probably still won't be there.
Is it really September?
Oh, I thought it was June.
Was it June?
No,
I think it's June.
I don't know. Maybe
we're definitely not going to be done by the end. I don't, you know what though? I don't care. Like, I really wasn't at this point. It was more about doing something that we actually enjoyed rather than like trucking through something that we were not enjoying.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, it's your hobby. It's supposed to be fun. And we did. We were sitting there one night kind of like talking each other off the ledge and being like,
we don't have to do this.
Like, if we don't want to do it. And I'm like, if we have to tell each other this, this isn't fun.
June 30th.
All right. Well, we will not be finishing it before then.
No,
at all. And that's okay. We'll have started it. We have started it. So it's all good.
A lot of people have finished, though, by the way. And the ones that have sent me pictures, they look awesome. And we'll be like sending more stuff out in June. Might be, guys. I don't know why I thought September.
Yeah, but I think I might, as long as I don't have any more like 20 row F ups, like I might actually make it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Like, if my nerve pain stays under control, I might be able to finish.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
It's all good.
I feel like it doesn't need to necessarily, like, I mean, the deadline is good. We have to end it sometime, but at the same time too, it's like, if you're enjoying the project, like, I don't see the point of pouring on the burn just to meet the deadline.
I won't be.
It doesn't make sense, too. It just doesn't make sense. Like, do it at your pace.
I mean, I can always change the deadline to September.
No, because I know we want to do
waiting
like
for
a,
that.
I know we want to do a fall make along, so.
I'm going to do a hat for that one. I'm going to do something I can bang out in like a week. Oh. Be sure to check out our website, pardonmystash.com, for more information, as well as pictures regarding our current projects, patterns, and yarns. As we have discussed before, Tina loves Lord of the Rings. Oh, loves it. It's her favorite.
Big facts.
It's her favorite.
So favorite
movie.
So we
are going to talk tonight in honor of Tina's great love for Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
we're going to talk tonight about your crafting quest.
Or should you say the Fellowship of the String?
Perfect.
It was Meg's idea. It was not my
idea. You did the delivery better than I ever could. So I'm really happy that you picked up what I threw down there.
Well, you were eyeing me very aggressively. So
was I? I didn't mean to.
No. In an aggressive sexual way, but I knew you weren't sexually... I knew you weren't sexually coming for me, so I figured I was reading that wrong.
None of that is true.
And in 3 seconds I went, I think she wants me to say the thing. I'm going to say the thing.
I really was sitting here like, I don't know where to go with that. Like, I started it, and where do I go with it? And then you jumped on it, and I was like, flawless. Nope, perfect, okay, perfect. Yeah. And then we wrecked it with the discourse. but anyway, the Fellowship of the String. So everybody has their own kind of journey into becoming a fiber artist, becoming a crafter in some way. We also know, and we've talked extensively on this podcast about how there is no like baseline. There are no benchmarks that you have to hit. Everybody's experience as a crafter is different. Even the four of us at this table do not have the same experiences. We didn't get to where we are today in the same way. So talking a little bit about where you start, where you've been, what you felt were like the benchmarks or spots on your quest, so to speak, where you felt like this is a big moment. This is a step. And obviously that's different for everybody. And kind of where you see the quest going, if that makes sense.
Where did you come from? Where did you go?
Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Telling you it's God. That night. It's that kind of night.
Oh, Lord. Beautiful. Beautiful. So it can be the Fellowship of the String or it can be Cotton Eye Joe. We can go either way. I feel now I'm just imagining, you know, those videos where somebody's doing Cotton Eye Joe and they're stomping on the cans. Like, I'm imagining that as you're stomping through Middle Earth. You can cut that out.
No.
If that's all I can think of.
If that doesn't stay in the episode, it's a blooper.
It's something. So I kind of think, like, thinking back in terms of, you know, where you started, where do you think was, like, the first moment where you were like, you know what, this is for me. This is where I belong. This craft is what I want to be doing. When did that hit you?
I was making a Doctor Who scarf.
I remember that scarf. I remember that.
I know we've talked about it in the past, but like that was a project that I started. I loved it. I never finished it. It was Kevlar. It was...
God, what size needles were you working with?
Oh, I think it was like 8s.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were not small needles.
They were not small needles,
but let me tell you,
unit
they came
tight.
Out as... small stitches.
Yeah, they did.
You do knit tight.
Not anymore. Well, tighter than you guys.
Yeah.
But, like,
no.
Not tight.
No, we're like, loosey-loosey-loosies.
Look, my stitches slide.
No, you're definitely...
you're definitely a looser knitter than you used
did,
to be.
You did courtesy rows on my shawl, and it wasn't that bad, because when I blocked it, I was able to block it out. So it wasn't too far off.
I tried real hard to knit loose for you.
Thank you.
So what about the Doctor Who scarf was like the moment?
Oh my God. So knitting for me is like a way for my brain to shut off. I disconnect my brain from my hands and my hands just go and then I don't have to think about anything. And it was garter stitch. It was repetitive. I didn't have to think about it. And I was like, yeah, this is it. This is my jam. And I'm still knitting today. Not that scarf, but...
still
you know what
on.
Though if you did say like I'm still working on that scarf, knowing what Doctor Who scarves are like, I don't think anybody would be surprised.
It tracks.
It does.
Yeah,
they're so long. They take that's a labor of love. Like, it's not like a difficulty labor of love, but it's
time,
persistence.
Yeah,
it's a persistence labor of love.
I didn't even bind it off. I just...
No, some things you just don't bind off.
I saved the needles and not much else.
sometimes that's the way it be. I finally threw away the sock yarn blanket this weekend.
Yep. Oh, I did that a while ago.
We were tossing the stash, and I was like, I'm done. Like, everything that is a remnant that we're not going to use is gone. Either it's getting donated or it's getting trashed. And I tore the needles all out, and I'm like, it's just, and it was actually quite freeing. Nice. To not have like a ton of yarn in my house. That's like, well, someday I may use this. No, I'm not going to use it. Like, let's be honest. I buy too much yarn at this point to be let me go through the whole stash and see what I could knit this with.
If I need a similar yarn in the future, I'm sure I can buy it.
Or find it. It's fine.
Sorry, I'm counting. Okay.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good.
I'm counting to three, which is very difficult for me. So I had to go 1, 2, 3. I'm sorry. That's literally what I was doing. And I realized I was like, I just said I was counting and I was literally counting to three.
I'm proud of you. Applause,
you.
Please.
Thank you. I'll give that to myself. Anyways. Oh, Lord. You introduced, I think Dre and I learned on the same night, Meg, when you introduced us to knitting.
That was the night.
And at the time, I was fully in the throes of alternative fashion. So I was in the throes of that. And I didn't know it at the time. But so I think the reason why I got into the entire idea of knitting as a whole is because it's a textile. And I think that's what I've realized lately is that everything that I've been into has been some kind of fabric, textile, fashion, something wearable. I had two aha moments. One was when I got to North Carolina and I realized why gauge is important. And, you know, like,
that's a revolutionary moment.
If you have a
moment.
Pattern that says you should use DK and not super bulky, you should probably listen to it. I don't know why.
It's not that different.
I think it's because I was. Wow. I think it was because I was doing like scarves, so I thought like, oh, like if I saw a pattern,
that's fair. That's fair.
And I saw a pattern, and I was like, oh well, I have this yarn. I didn't care about weight. I was just like, oh, I want to use this yarn. And then like, there's a difference.
No, that's fair.
So there was that one where I felt like I actually like knew to a degree what I was doing. The second aha was probably when I honestly, and it's recent, it's when I switched to Portuguese.
Yeah.
And it's just because like all of a sudden I was like, I feel really confident in my knitting because like, I feel like with English, it wasn't like, as natural for me, like the throwing really hurt my hands and it wasn't, but now that I'm doing it, Portuguese style, it's like, ooh, wait a second. And you know, and all of a sudden, like, I feel like, oh, wait, like, I've always been meant to do this. The Portuguese in me is is running towards the Portuguese knitting. Like, oh, here we go. Like, and it's been really great to just, like, reconnect with my roots and, like, where I've come from and, you know, all these different, like, toilage and, like, different things that, like, my family has made that, like, now I could actually look at it and go, oh, I could make that. I could figure that out. Like, that's so cool. But, yeah. Those are my aha moments.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
I know I always like kept my knitting up from when I was younger just because I never knew when I, you know, want to make another mane for a dragon. And it was good to have the knowledge of how to do that. Don't at me. But I think the moment where I was like, oh man, I should actually look more into this knitting wise was when I made a friend a hat. And I made up my own color work for it with the Norse runes because he was, like, super into that, like, into the runes and all that. So I made that, and I found out that color work was really fun.
Yeah.
And I've come back to that, and I've gotten better at color work, and now I like doing the two-strand version of it, whereas I used to hold both colors in one hand. Now I like can do, what is it, continental style if I'm doing color work. I'm still, my tension is not great when I, but I kind of want to learn continental style all the time because I do go faster with it. The crochet one was when I found out I can make like little animals and I made a Magikarp that turned into a Gyarados.
I mean, that was pretty fantastic.
I was like, this is awesome. And then, yeah, so my crochet is mostly, like, animals and amigurumi and stuff. Like, not gonna lie, I don't normally do crochet, like, other accessories or clothing or whatnot. But yeah, so those are my, like, hey, I want to keep this up and I actually want to look up patterns rather than I'm just gonna throw together a garter stitch slash stockinette thing for a use that probably isn't, like, the norm. For anything, it's going to be some sort of tack on for something else. And now I'm like, oh, hey, I can actually like do other things.
I bet you could do garments and stuff with crochet, though, if you wanted to.
If I wanted to, I probably could. I'm just
because I have like zero, like honestly, real experience with crochet. Like everything I've done has just been winging it. And I was able to like fumble around and do that little bunny sweater for that stuffed bunny for my daughter.
Yeah.
Because I understood sweater construction on the knitting side. So I was doing like a raglan increase with the curl. Like I was like, okay, I need to do it.
I mean, back when I was doing our old D&D group, I made amigurumis way back in the beginning of our characters. And I actually made the characters like first with like an undershirt and pants, but then I crocheted armor and put the armor on after. so like on a small scale, I guess I've kind of done garments.
That counts.
Still counts.
Still counts. What about you, Meg?
Honestly, I started knitting when I was 20 and I didn't really learn. I didn't learn how to purl until I was 25. So it was a lot of garter stitch scarves. So my progress was super slow. And I remember like the first project that I decided to buy a pattern and stretch myself and try something that I had never tried before and teach myself a technique that I had never attempted. It was the Winterberry Cowl by Leah M. Designs, and it was the first time I tried bobbles. And I saw this pattern and it was so pretty and I loved it and I wanted to make it. And I tried making and it was like, oh my God, like bobbles with a crochet hook. And I struggled with it, like really struggled. And then I got myself some pointier needles for purling that seven together. And it was a huge difference. And when I started actually putting the bobbles into the cowl, I'm like, this is the first time I really challenged myself. Mm-hmm. Like found a pattern, bought a pattern, like made the conscious decision to buy a pattern that I wasn't sure if I could do. Mm-hmm. I did it. I succeeded. I finished. I've never worn that cowl. I don't think I ever will. I just keep it. I love having it. But I felt so good when I was done with that. And I'm like, okay, if I can do this, then there really isn't anything I can't do. And it was just a total switch of mindset from I have a very limited range of talent when it comes to knitting. You know, I can do the basics. I can knit a hat. I can knit a sock. I can knit a scarf. But everything I'm knitting is very, like, generic. Like, I was way too scared to try patterns. And I was so excited with that bobble cowl that I just started being like, okay, well, what else can I learn? And I for the first time in my entire knitting journey, I wasn't afraid to try new things. And that was really, like, the light bulb moment of I don't want to just, like, sit there and knit the same thing over and over again for the rest of my life. I want to try new things. I want to knit a sweater. I want to try lace. I want to, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing wrong. I've mentioned before, my sister does one by one rib and she is the happiest person on earth doing mm-hmm. just one by one rib scarves. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I really thought that was the kind of knitter I was going to be for the rest of my life, was just doing kind of the same projects over and over again. And that was like the first time that I'm like, no, I want to learn new things. I want to try new stuff because I finally felt like I was capable of doing those things. So that was summer of 2021 And it was like, boom, like everything changed. So very exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely like that capable feeling is such yeah. a high.
Yeah, it's such a it's high. Huge. It's like,
did you see the summer of 21?
Yep.
Isn't that when I came back?
Yeah, I actually bought the yarn for that cowl when you were up here. You hadn't moved up. I don't think you had permanently moved, but we went. That was local yarn store day, and we all went out for a local yarn store day. And I bought a skein of Malabrigo, and I forget the colorway, but it was a peach pink. Color.
It was like a pink. It was apple blossom.
Yeah, no, it wasn't because I wanted apple blossom, but they didn't have it. The sample was apple blossom. I wanted that. It was a peach. It was close to apple blossom. I forget what it was called, and it was pretty. But yeah, oh God. That was that trip. I got it at Stars Hollow. We all went the local yarn store day trip.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yep. And that was where I got that yarn. So we were living at my mom's house because we had bought this house, but we hadn't closed on it yet. Right. We had already sold our old house. So we were kind of in flux.
I had just got it. Oh, so you had house.
Just.
I had no, I just no, bought my
you just
house.
Bought it. Yep.
I didn't move
yep.
into
yep.
it yet. I
yep.
just bought it.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
we were gutting the thing.
No, it was summer. So, but that's the thing. Like, you think I started knitting in December of 2003. It took me 18 years to get to that point. It was a really long point.
But it was like a long journey.
But I had to get there. Yeah, and it's like the good thing about knitting is that, like, I've got, you know, all the time in the world. So
it doesn't.
And I've done. I've changed a lot since then. So. Yeah. So
nothing
good stuff.
Made me feel more capable as a knitter than when I was making those dwarven battle bonnets.
Oh my god!
Oh, the battle bonnets.
I thought you were so freaking impressive.
The army of battle bonnets. Oh, there were so many of them.
The pattern was called Dwarven Battle Bonnet 2 because it was the second version, and somebody that I went to high school with that I didn't even really talk to at that point anymore. Messaged me on Facebook and was like, I want this.
Which is like such a great beginning. Knit this for me.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. So he paid for my supplies and then he paid for my time. And I made him a dwarven battle bonnet. And then I had three other people say, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Make me one.
Oh, that's funny.
I remember that. You were cranking those out pretty regularly for a while.
Oh, my God. It's probably the weirdest pattern that I've ever made. But that was the first pattern that I did baubles on.
Yeah.
You saying baubles made me think of
brought
my
you back.
Baubles.
Brought you back. Yeah.
I'd like to think that every time that a friend... you know, shovels the snow or something, he wears that bonnet.
God, I hope so. Why would you not?
It would be amazing.
Why would you not wear that?
Amazing.
Why Kevin, would you not?
Kevin, if you listen to this, if you listen to our podcast, I just want you to know that I still think of you wearing that.
Aww.
And I hope you still have it.
And if you're not wearing it to shovel snow, don't tell us.
Yeah, please don't.
We would rather think just, that you do.
Look, if you don't wear it to shovel snow, you should be.
Yeah.
That too.
You should probably make that change.
Yeah, Kevin.
Oh God. So like you know, we talk about where we came from, you know, when that moment was. Were there any like quest benchmarks that you either were trying to reach or when you reached them you were like, I feel like I've, you know, just to stick with the fantasy video game theme, you leveled up, so to speak. When did you feel like you leveled up as a crafter?
Socks.
Yeah.
And then I was just happy with socks for a really long time. First it was garter stitch scarves.
Yep.
And I said I was never going to do anything else forever.
I remember that. You were like, I'm a scarf knitter. I'm good with this.
And then I made a hat, which was too small for my head, which is...
Isn't everybody's
really
first
saying
hat,
something like, because I have a very
heads.
Small
you
head.
You do have a small head, yeah. Oh my goodness.
And then I went from hats to socks, and then I was just socks forever for a long time. Man, I love socks.
So like in North Carolina, I felt super confident. I was doing all these like shawls, and mm-hmm. I still hadn't done a garment. And then when I came up here, I don't know if it was because I was literally out of my mind or if I just, I was not doing well mentally during the time that I first originally came up. For some reason during that period, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to become a test knitter. I don't even know how to do garments. And my first test knit was a garment.
Yeah.
T Tina, I thought you were insane for doing that.
Dude, that's, dive into the and pool and just start swimming.
And not only did I do it, I did it correctly. And like, it came out great. And I was just like, cool. Well, and then I was like, I'm going to test it 3 sweaters at a time. And I'm like, that's a bad idea.
That was a poor choice. But at the same time, I think that was a pretty, you know, ingenious way to, you know, jump into it because you've committed to it now.
I feel like that is the story of my life. That's this podcast. Well, I was like, I'm committed now. I've already bought the mics. We're going to do this now. You know, I'm committed now. I told someone I was going to make a sample of this pattern. So I guess I have to make the sweater now. Like, it's just, I thrive off of the, you know, the rush of deadlines and feeling like I'm going to miss something.
I'm not gonna make it.
You know, there's that was exactly how I knit my first garment too. Was the Feodora capelet. I just really liked it, and it's, I'm like, so okay, pretty. It doesn't have sleeves, so I don't have to worry about the sleeves. Mm-hmm. But it would be my first time like in doing the increasing and making a wearable garment, and I'm like, you know what? Just I've done color work before. Let's just do it. Let's dive in and do it. And it was such a high, mm-hmm, being done with it, of like, if I can do this, and I'm like, I've now done everything on a sweater but the sleeves. I can do sleeves. Sleeves are just tubes. It's going to be. And then I picked up the stitches for the slender arm gusset. You know what? I was like, no, sleeves aren't just tubes. Good talk, Meg.
Yeah.
But it was. Tubes. It was like, OK, like this. That felt like such a significant benchmark of like, I can do this.
I think for me, my biggest benchmark is getting that blue ribbon. Guys, I cried.
Yeah.
And then that stupid lady tried to ruin my high. But like, I totally was like, whatever, so lady, excited. I was like, because for me, that was like another knitter who had a lot of experience. Yes. So much experience, right, that right, they were judging a fiber arts, like, you know, thing at a fair. Yeah, competition at a fair. That they said to me, like, hey, out of all of the sweaters in this category, not only was it was a sweater that was on top of it. It was all the sweaters in this kids category. Your pullover was the best. And I'm like, really?
Because it is. It is. And I feel like a lot of the time we tend to, I don't even think it's just knitters. I think it's people in general. We tend to get really like, oh, it's not so hard. You could do it too. About when people compliment us, like, mm-hmm, okay, yeah, that was nice, but it really, you know, we tend to kind of like negate downplay our own successes stuff, and it's like, you know, there's nothing wrong with being like, yes, thank you, it was complicated, I'm proud of it, like, thank you for acknowledging that I did something fantastic.
I redid those sleeves. Do you remember that? That's
right. I was like,
and I thought you were crazy.
They're not even.
I'm like, oh my God, it's the week of. It was worth it.
I
remember Joe seeing me tear out her sleeves because it's her sweater, and she was just like, "Mommy." I was like, "No, it's gonna be done.
It's gonna be better.
It's gonna be done. It's gonna be better. It's gonna be so even." And it worked out because she had a slight adjustment. She wanted them a touch shorter because were sitting on her elbow a little weird. Yeah. So it worked out.
I have a lot of like leveling up moments, but they're fun. So, I want to say. Like, my first one was probably the color work, because that was, like, combining, okay, I made a pattern and figured out color work. Honestly, casting on a pie shawl, because that was a weird cast on. Casting on to, like, start from the middle of a shawl and work out, like, it took me a couple of tries. That was also my first big beading project. And then most of the shawls that I did for that, because that was for our wedding, involved learning a new skill. Like, I did bobbles, I did beads, I did the Russian translation. I feel like I level grinded that really year, did. Like, or that it was 3 years.
You really
but,
did, yeah.
And then it was like the sweater. Cause I just really liked that pattern. I was like, okay, this thing that I said I'd never gonna do, I need to try it. So those are the big, but every time I feel like I enjoy, and the ones that stick with me the most are the ones where I am like, okay, this is really interesting. And I also want to know how to do it. I want to do it. So let's dive in and see. Like, I'm so excited to be finishing this other project because now then I will have a steek under my belt, and that's fun and scary at the same time.
I'm so proud of you guys. So I'm not ready.
I don't think I'm ready, but you know, I'm also kind of like, I'm tired of like, I think I've gone through like 5 or 6 projects where I've said like, I'm going to steek, I'm going to try it. And I think it's going to have to be like the bobbles, like everything else where it's like, okay, let's just do it. Just get it done.
Just do the thing.
Because it's, what is the worst? The worst that can happen is it falls apart. Mm-hmm. And that would be tragic, but no one's going to die. And you know, I will be sad. It will be a lot of wasted time, and but at the same time, it's like I will learn something from it. And I've been saying that a lot lately, and I think it's mainly because like my job has gotten super stressful this year. But I'm, you know, talking to my students, and I'm like, what is the worst that's going to happen if this happens? No one's going to die. No massive tragedy is going to happen. Like, it may not turn out the way that you want it to, but the impact on everything and even your life is going to be relatively small. And it has taken me years to get to that point with knitting, where I'm not too scared to try new things. So nice. I think that segues really well into the last kind of question is like, where do you see yourselves going on this quest? Like, what do you want to accomplish in the long run? Is there anything you want to accomplish, or is your journey just, you know what, more of the same, more of this, which is also, of course, totally fine.
I don't feel like I've ever given myself any kind of like lofty goals. Even when I did my sweater, I don't think that it was like, yeah, Everest.
And nobody, you don't need to have an Everest. Like, no. I feel like that is.
Like, I'm sure I'll do more. As in like, pick up more skills, but I don't think it's also not a must for me.
Yeah.
If I do it, great. If I don't do it, whatever. I like the process of knitting, so as long as I'm doing it, I'm happy.
I don't like, it's weird because like I have a tendency to almost put too much pressure on something I really love, if that makes sense, like in terms of activities that I like. Because I get like almost hyper fixated on the activities.
You must so then be I'm good
like,
at it.
You better enjoy those.
It's like, it's not even that. It's like I want to do all the things with it. Like I want to be so involved. I want to be like, I want to do, you know, make it into a business and make it into the tests and do the things and the, but, and the, and I'm trying really hard for my journey to not turn into a focus on how can I make this bigger? Rather, how can I make this better for me?
Just enjoyable. Enjoying the journey. Yeah.
Like it's like I mentioned last time, it's like the process. I'm really trying really, really hard to focus on process over like this Everest, like this trying to get to a certain point. Because at this point now I feel like I'm honestly going to end up doing Portuguese knitting tutorials because there's no good ones. There really isn't well, any good ones.
I mean, if that is what you want to do though, to fill that void on the internet, then like, I think that's it. As long as that's something you want to do.
Yeah. I feel like it's almost like a reference to myself though. Like it's like, I don't even care if like people watch it. Like for me, it's like, no, I need to like put this down because like, like
if I forget,
I will.
I'll actually see how I do.
Yes. I will forget how I did this. But I find like, even when I was looking for like certain, there are certain stitches I just had to figure out. Cause the way that you knit like this is slightly different. And the way you're holding the yarn is different. So the way that you may have learned English style or even continental style to do like an increase or a decrease or something like that, it's different. Like you have to hold it a different way. Mm-hmm. And through trial and error, you know, I figured it out, but like, for example, one of the things is that they make you do color work inside out. All the videos I've seen, and there's only like 3 that I've seen, when they're like, oh yeah, because, you know, Portuguese knitting is all about purling. And I'm like, I get that. One of the benefits of Portuguese knitting is that purling is a lot easier because it's inherently like a very easy, very little movement kind of thing to do.
Well, I can see how it would be natural to do it inside out then.
Yeah. But like for me, it messed with my brain. I was like, I need to see how it's coming out. Because like, I don't want to be like, okay, I need to go look. Because like, I don't know if I'm messing up or not. I can't tell from the wrong side if I'm actually doing it right or not.
Yeah.
So I taught myself how to do it right side out. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can do it right side out. I can do this right side out. And then it was like, okay, I got this. But then I'm like, wait, nobody know. There's no other video that says to do this right side out. So that was compelling me, is I don't want to forget that. So it's, again, process. It's like remembering my process rather than like, oh, I'm going to be like the best tutorial person, because I'm not.
Look, I'm doing this for me, not for you.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you.
If you summed it up. If you benefit from it, great. But just so you know, this is for me.
Yeah, this is purely
None of
for
this
me.
Is about you. None of it. You.
It is purely about me.
Not here to help anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Dre, I'm not that callous, but I would like to.
But that's what it sounded like.
I'm not, yeah,
it's so
no.
funny.
I think there is something also to be said for like, you're doing this for you. Like, you're not doing it because you feel obligated to do anything.
I'm not trying to make it a business or turn it into a thing.
I want to do this. Yes. I feel compelled to do it, and that is why I'm doing
it. It's literally how my Instagram started. It was me being like, I like these videos. I want to do Vines, because that's what it reminded me of. Vines.
Do it for the Vine.
I did. I was like, I want to do Vines. This is fun.
Can they please bring back Vine?
Yeah, please.
What a golden age.
But yeah, like my Instagram was like that. The podcast was like that. Like everything has been like that. And I feel like the things that have started in that capacity where it's just like, we're just going to do this and it's going to be fun.
It's organic.
Organic. Yeah.
Those are the ones that work out.
Stick. Yeah.
Yeah. But you, Jess?
I mean, mine is basically do the same old until I see something new that I want to try. Like, not going to lie, there is.
We weren't talking about your whole life.
No,
we were just talking about knitting.
But
that's
knitting
basically
too.
What you do, like, in real life.
Yeah. But no, so I saw a thing and it's like you crochet like the little creatures, like they're tiny. They're mini ones though, because as you crochet, they're actually little beaded minis. So it's like a crochet rabbit, but it's all beads. And I'm like, that looks awesome. I don't feel like doing it right now, but I want to learn how eventually when I feel like learning how, which is not this moment, but I know one day that's the thing I'm going to want to try. Also with crochet, you got to pre-bead everything. And I really don't feel like doing that right now because it's a pain. But I do have that cool little tool for helping with that.
Yeah, you
which
do.
Which is nice.
You do.
But yeah, so stuff like that where I'm like, okay, I have benchmarked that eventually this will be an interest. But until then, I'm perfectly happy doing my thing right now and continuing on. I feel like I am at a healthy level of where I need to be. And yeah.
Do you have an Everest?
I don't have an Everest. I think mainly like the episode we had a few times ago where I like acknowledge and realize that like the beginning of the year is always so bad for me with casting on. Like that was a real moment of like self-actualization of I have a real problem where I get to a point where I'm not enjoying myself when I'm knitting, to the point where I almost avoid it or I rip out my projects and I toss it away. And I think like my main goal or quest, I guess, with knitting is to try and curate what I am doing to the point where I don't want to put it down. Which means stop knitting things from obligation. Don't knit things that I realize are not bringing me joy. Try to be a little more selective when choosing patterns. Like I've had this pie in the sky pattern for years that I wanted to do. It was the Rose of England shawl. It's beautiful. And my goal used to be to do it when I turned 40. And I was looking at the pattern the other day and I'm like, I would hate every second of this. I would be miserable. It's beautiful. I would want that. Like, I would love to have this shawl, but I know I would not want to knit it. And I think it's just more being conscious of not my capabilities so much as what I want to do.
Knit or know thyself.
Really? Yeah. A lot of that. But also not sticking just, I don't want to just stick to things that I know that I can do. Like, I do want to keep stretching myself, but I don't want to do things that I look at a pattern and I'm like, I really want the product, but I know that this is going to be miserable. This journey is going to be miserable. I'm going to hate every second of it. So trying to be a little more conscientious of what I like to do and sticking with projects and yarns that I like to work with and just trying to have fun with it. That's really the whole, maybe the real quest is the friends we met along the way. The fun we had along the way.
The fellowship of the string.
The fellowship of the string.
That's us.
That's all the time we have this week. For additional content and opportunities to connect with the cast, check out our website at pardonmystash.com. And be sure to tune in next time for more fun friends and fiber at Pardon My Stash.
Fellowship of the string.